Welcome to the Nova Churches podcast. We are a vibrant, dynamic, multicultural church in Alexandria, Virginia. Join us at 11 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, go to www.thenovachurch.com. We're excited to share this week's message with you. God bless.
Psalms 116 and 17 is where we're going to go this morning. Great job by our worship team. Thankful for all that is. Do want to give a shout out to our coffee bar that's kind of starting to kick up. And mad props to Sister Adriana and Sister Caitlin. One of the cool things I challenge them is as we give to coffee. It's not just about coffee, but I thought, you know what would be cool is coffee for a cause. And so I told them that every month you pick a country and whatever we make, we're going to give that to a country of your choice. So super cool. I think this one is Moldova. Oh, glory. You should have seen last week I did the IBC Missions Conference with three veteran missionaries. It was a hot mess because here I am. I can't pronounce half the countries in the world. And these guys are like, oh yeah, I went and opened five countries. I went to Ghana when no one was there. And I was like, I'm going to Namibia. I don't know. I'm going to Africa sometime. I just know that's something I'm doing in 2022. I'm going on a missions trip. And they were like, let's practice together. Namibia. And I was like, Namibia. Okay, it's not working still. But I'm thankful for them, and so we're thankful for that. So coffee for a cause, please consider doing that. It's going to be a blessing to you, and then you won't be falling asleep while I'm preaching. Hey, okay, Psalms 116 and 17, and I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I want to preach to you today on this subject, true thanksgiving. True thanksgiving. Amen. And you may be seated as I quickly and hasten to. It is that time of year where Thanksgiving is here. Your minds are possibly on preparations for the holiday, visitations of family, visitations of how you can avoid family, things to do that you don't have to see the family that is coming in. And of course, you can't say that to the people that you live in, but all of a sudden you're like, I got a work meeting now on Thursday. You're like, what, on Thanksgiving? You're like, maybe not. Okay, so whatever it is, maybe your thoughts are all over the place. Maybe you're deep in thought on inflation or the cost of the Thanksgiving meal that is up this year. In fact, I seen an article that the cost of Thanksgiving is up 14% to a whopping total of $53.31 for a group of 10 people. I don't know who is feeding 10 people for $53. I think they're capping. Can I get a witness, somebody? Okay, way off on that. I have like four people, and last year we did Thanksgiving shopping. It was like $225. I was like, I don't even know what's going on. People, and part of that's my son who's four. He thinks the idea of a grocery store is just throw it in the cart, and while we're not looking, I'm like, oh, here's this. And I'm like, what do you mean there's 12 bags of goldfish? I didn't know. I didn't buy that. That's how it's rolling, right? So I don't know who's buying Thanksgiving for that amount, but they did say 14%, and it's the biggest annual increase in 31 years. A 16-pound turkey costs $24, up 24%. Two frozen pies are up 20%. And dinner rolls, those crescent rolls that you love to just stuff your face with, not so much. They're up 15% as well. And so it's a nice little price tag. But why do we celebrate Thanksgiving as a country? Why do we do that as a country? Well, it started with the original President Washington, George Washington, who I, in this last year, have become a big fan of. I have geeked out and probably read about seven George Washington books this year. I am just all in on Mr. Washington. In fact, for my birthday, my wife took me to Mount Vernon. And so, and I know that may be like, so whoop-de-doo, Pastor, I do that all the time. But George Washington, on October 3rd, 1789, I want you to read the reason why we do this as a country. He said, whereas, this is his opening statement in the proclamation, Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, and to be grateful for all of His benefits, humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress and joint committee has requested me to recommend the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. Notice how we've forgotten that second part there. Okay, now you're going to get an amen in church on that. Thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts that many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them as an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. And that's why we have Thanksgiving as a country. So Thanksgiving is not just a holiday, not just a vacation, it's not just a break from work, but you see the intent from a country standpoint is led by the president, President Washington, who said we have to be thankful really unto God for what He's done. But what we know is thankfulness is not just an event. It's not just a holiday. Thankfulness is our worldview as Christians that we ought to live a thankful life. When we understand that we are called unto thankfulness, it goes beyond just a, hey, thanks. You ever talk to somebody and it's like the casual thanks? And you can tell they're just saying it, but they don't really mean it. That's my 4-year-old, right? I'll be like, okay. And I'm like trying to teach him manners. I'll be like, okay, do you want a cake pop? I'll be like, yeah. I'm like, okay, cool. Here you go. And there's times it's just like, thanks, Dad. And just like walks off. I'm like, there wasn't really much heartfelt in that. I know you said it, but you didn't really mean it. But then there's times like last week when I was gone, I found my wife or I thought, you know what, I'm going to send Starbucks to the wife and kids while I'm going to church. So I sent her a iced sugar cookie oat milk latte with half the pumps and no whip to be delivered by DoorDash and 2 cake pops, 1 reindeer cake pop and 1 chocolate cake pop. And the response I heard from my wife was, oh, thank you so much, babe. That was so sweet. And I was like, yay, husband points. Whoa, let's go, right? You tell it was genuine. And I said, well, what'd the kids say? She goes, Cam was disappointed. He said, where's the next one? Like he wanted 2. And I was like, what? I was like, that little punk, where is he? Wait till I see him, right? And that's how he's rolling. But you can tell there's certain people that they say thanks, but then they really mean, no, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you. I'm very, very thankful for being here. And there's a depth or a meaning that really cannot be measured. And thus, when we say, I want to take a few moments to explore 3 things to be thankful for. Number 1 is I'm thankful for His power. The power of God is unmatchable, uncontainable, and unlimited. I am thankful that when I need it, I can go somewhere that I know everything is possible. Psalm 71 and 19 says, Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like Thee? There are people all over that we've got to remind ourselves that the Lord, no one is like Him. He has done great things. And when you begin to think of the goodness of God and think of the greatness of God, you can easily begin to say, oh, God's been good. God's been faithful. God's been merciful. God's been protective of me. I don't know about you today, but I'm thankful today to celebrate the goodness of God. And I am thankful that He's opened up doors and closed doors when I could have fallen into something. He closed the door. But when I needed something, I didn't even know what I needed. He opened the door to that. Hear me today. I'm thankful for the goodness of God. Nobody is like our God. Amen. But there are people in our society, not you wonderful people, of course, nobody in here, but there are people that often they complain. They're complainers. They're negative. They are ungrateful. Anybody know anybody like that? Anybody spend Thanksgiving like that? Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, no, don't raise your hand. The attitude does not have gratitude. And there are people who are always frustrated. I want more. Give me more. Give me an abundance. This isn't enough. I am always shocked by people who are not grateful for what they have, and they are always saying, no, you should give me, this is not good enough for me. I deserve better. I deserve newer. I want more of this. I want a better car, better house. This isn't good of where I am. And sometimes they forget what they prayed, God bless me with, is now somehow faded to the background, that that blessing is no longer sufficient, that what God blessed them with when they were praying, God, please bless me with a job, has now become a ungrateful, I don't even like this place, I don't like my boss, I don't like this. But when you were applying, they're like, oh God, please, can I get a witness, somebody? Ain't nobody going to say amen with me up in here. Bill, ain't nobody going to give me the amen, right? But you know it's all true. I've been there, right, where you're like, oh, Lord, please, if you could give me that job. God, and you're praying. Some of you come down to the altar. You'll be in sobbing tears. God, give me favor. Open the door. God gives you the door like, I hate this job. This is the worst job ever. Hate all of them. They're all bad. Mean people, every one of them. And you're like, what in the world? You prayed for it. God blessed you with it. Now you're ticked off about it. Don't blame him. You should still be grateful. God answered your prayer. It's not his fault that you don't know how to pray. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's not go there. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a second. Back to the notes. Stake to the notes, Pastor. You missed me, didn't you? Okay. Tim, come save this. Okay. Great job by Brother Tim last week in preaching. Very, very thankful for that. So watch this. There are people like what we find in Numbers chapter 11, where the man of God is frustrated and burnt out because he's dealing with the people that do not have gratitude, that are not thankful. And in Numbers 11 and 16, the Lord says to Moses, he's giving him the speech, and then he tells Moses in verse 18, and he says, now say to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was, catch this, it was better for us in Egypt. Therefore, the Lord will give you meat and you shall eat. But watch what he says. The Lord is so frustrated with the people because of their response, their attitude, that he says, for you shall not just eat one day or 2 days or 5 days or 10 days or 20 days, but for a whole month. Until, I love this, this is like so, I feel this, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wept, saying, why did we come out of Egypt? For Moses said, the people among whom I am number 600,000 on foot. Now watch this. Moses then says to the Lord, wait a second, hold up. You're upset at them because they're ungrateful, that they want meat. Now catch this. Get this right here. A pastor's not making this up. You got to get the context. And he says, now you're telling them they're going to eat so much meat, they're going to eat it for a month, and they're going to hate it. So much is going to come out of their nostrils. Like, they're going to just hate the idea of this. You're going to give them so much of an abundance, they're going to be just sick out of their minds. And Moses is like, wait, among the people, there's 600,000 footmen. And you said, I'll give them flesh that they may eat for a whole month. Moses is going, wait a second. Shall all the flocks and herds be slaughtered for them and be enough for them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered to them and be enough for them? And the Lord says to Moses, is the Lord's hand shortened? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. One translation says it like this, and the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you. See, what we find is in this scripture, what he was upset about and frustrated about is, get the picture, these people were just delivered out of slavery and bondage. They were brought free from that situation. For 400 years, they complained and wept in sorrow that they did not have the choice. And now, here they are, out in the field. They are free, and yet they still have a poverty mentality. They still have a slave mindset of bondage of yesterday. Because you can take somebody out of slavery, but you got to take the slavery out of them. You got to take the poverty mindset out of them. Now let me apply it to us. There's certain times where we have things that have brought into the as people of God into the house of God. And it's that old habits and old mindsets and old behaviors. And God's saying, no, you got to get rid of this if you're going to be delivered and walk in the way that I want you to walk. But if you bring that with you, then all of a sudden you say, well, I don't have this. Why do I have to give this up? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to do it like this? Why do I have to raise my hands, Pastor? Why do I have to worship, Pastor? Right, Esther, they're not feeling us. And they're like, hey, what do we do? But the reality of it is when you understand that God's brought you out of that to transform you, then the blessings of God, you begin to say, oh, but God's good to me here. I know it may not be like that and it may be different, but that doesn't mean it's bad. God's still good and God's still faithful, and I'm going to be thankful for the goodness of God here in the middle of my wilderness, in the middle of wandering. God's still going to be good. Can I get a witness, somebody? And then he says to Moses, Moses gets frustrated. And Moses' frustration is, God, how do you expect me to do this? I know you said this, but now how do you expect me to feed them for a whole month? I ain't got those resources. Let me just pause to say that your resources should never be the cap on what God can do. God is bigger than us. The Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. When you understand God is bigger than us, and that's where the Lord responds to us, is not my hand shortened? In other words, he said, is my power so confined that I can't do this? He said, now Moses, you watch and see as well. God's basically saying, I am bigger than your situation. I am bigger than your circumstances. I am bigger than what you're facing. And even though you don't know how, and you don't know why, and you don't know when, God is not limited by your how or your why or your when. God is bigger than that. So if there's ever a reason to be thankful, it's to stand on the word of God and say, his power is true and his power is right, and he's going to make a way out of this. Somebody say amen. And that's why we understand with men it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. That's the goodness of God, that when you need something, God is not limited by our finite resources. When you are needing something for Thanksgiving this week, you're going to have to go to a store and hope it's in stock, right? If they forgot something, I remember it's like every year somehow I'm going to the store. Last year we're cooking a big feast for like 24 people, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, we forgot this. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to the store, and I'm going to find a store, and I'm looking like a lost animal through every aisle going, where is this specific brand of this, and I don't even know what this is. And you're like, when you need something, you can go find something. If you need to build something, you can go to Home Depot. If you need to make some food, you can go to the store, right? But God does not need to go somewhere to build something. When he needed something, he just spoke it into existence. God is bigger than that. He doesn't need something. He said, no, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be day and night. He can speak things into existence. When there was trees in need, guess what? He spoke it into existence. He didn't say, hey, let me see if I can build a tree and wait for it. And, oh, I don't know if this is going to work. No, he began to spoke. Why? Because he's got all power in heaven and earth. If there's ever something to thank God for, it's that he's got all power, and that power is applicable in your life. Somebody say amen. I'm here today to remind you that if you're facing a tough situation, the Lord is all powerful and he can get you out of that situation. It doesn't matter if people recognize it or not, because their validation does not vindicate his power. Their approval and applause doesn't determine the power of God. And so the first thing is, everybody say, his power. Second thing is his protection. Everybody say, protection. I'm so grateful for the protection of the Lord. I've heard some of it referred to the hand of God's on his life, but the Lord is a protector. He is a shield. He's my refuge, a fence, a boundary, a safety. Psalms 138:7 says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I was with the missionaries, as I mentioned, and I was just blown away and honored to be a part of this conference, because, you know, these missionaries, one was there for like 30 years, one was there for 20 years. I mean, they went to Africa when there was nobody there in like 1968, 1971, gave up his church. God called him to Africa. You're talking like, okay, you're giving up everything you know because the call of God on your life. And I was hanging out with these guys, and one of the unique people that was driving me around was a missionary kid. And I just have a heartbeat for pastor's kids alone, because pastor's kids, they don't really have a choice or a chance, right? They're brought along. You got a problem, you come to the church, right? My kids think like, oh, you other kids don't go to the church for 5 hours at a time? Like, they don't know that, right? They think everybody does that. And so, you know, and missionary's kids, they're completely even on a whole nother level. Because if you get the fact of this, when a missionary is traveling around to raise their budget to go to overseas, they will travel for up to 2 years living in hotels, living in their car, hoping for a place to preach, and then saying, hey, will you give us enough money so we can go preach the gospel? That's crazy. Can I get a witness, right? It's called deputizing. That's why when a missionary comes, they come and say, we're going to take you on no matter what. You don't have to come beg. You don't have to come ask us and say, please, will you support me? I tell them up front, we're automatically going to support you. Mark it down. You preach, do what God's told you to do. We're going to be with you. We're partners with you. And that's why I'm so thankful for this church. Our church is a great church. And so this missionary kid, they are missionaries to the, I'm going to mess this up. Somebody help me out. The CAR, the Congo African Republic. Is that right? Central African Republic, way off. Good job. Okay. Told y'all we need a map. You should have seen me with the missionaries. That was a hot mess. They put me on a panel and let me talk. Oh boy, that was such a mistake. So watch this. They did that twice. They didn't learn the first time. Okay. So he's driving me around and he said this. He said, I was like, what was it like to me, a missionary kid? Because not only are they, and then ready for this, not only do they have to deputize, they do this every 4 years. They have to come back to the States and raise more money and travel around and do that again until they get to go back. Can you imagine taking your six-year-old, you take them to a foreign country, they're going to be in a foreign country, and then after 4 years, you're like, oh, time to go back to the States. We go back to the States only to live in a car or an RV and travel around, and then you're going to go back over there. Kind of crazy. Some of you think, oh, man, stability. Whoa, right? Missionaries' kids are our heroes, right? And that's why I applaud them. They're amazing because they don't even have a choice. God didn't call them. God called their parents, and yet they're being drug around the world. Amen? Some of you are like, okay, Pastor, this is now a downer. Thanks for making me feel bad. But as I'm there, I'm talking to them like, so what was it like growing up on the field? You know, here you are in the Central African Republic. Okay, you're there somewhere in Africa. And he said, it was amazing. And his attitude was so refreshing. As here's this 21-year-old kid driving me around, and I'm asking him, well, what was it like growing up in that? I mean, you know, what was the stories like? And he was like, man, he's like, those people are so hungry for God. And you did not hear 1 ounce of what he didn't have. I didn't have a PlayStation. I didn't have the latest games. I didn't have Nintendo 64. I didn't have those things. You didn't hear one thing. You know what he was talking about? Man, I remember going to a village where all these people are, and we'd pray, and we'd sit there. And I thought, man, God bless this kid. And I said, I looked at him, I said, I want you to know. I said, man, you really are my hero. I said, if there's anything I can ever do for you, you let me know. I said, man, I just want you to know. I said, I respect you, and I said, I think God's going to bless you. And obviously, you're called to ministry. That's why you're at Bible college. But I pray God blesses you. And he said, I am blessed. And he told this story. He said, one of the missionaries to this country, he said, when we went there, he said, they walked in, and he said, they were in a civil war, and someone walked into their house, and they pointed a gun at them and said, we need your money right now. It's a shotgun. They cocked the shotgun, and they're pointing it at him. They said, give us your money. He said, I don't have any money. He said, I'm a missionary. They said, you've got money, and they said, we will kill you right now. It's a civil war. They don't care. And the man says, sir, he's on his knees. And he said, and the missionary kid's telling me the story. He says, on the knees, and they've got the gun, and he's saying, please, I'm here for Jesus. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help your kids. And as he's sitting there with the gun cocked, as he goes to pull the trigger, he pulls the trigger, and the gun goes up. Don't know why. And so they are in the house of the missionary. And they're saying, hey, what's up with the hole in your ceiling? And he said, that's because some guys came in, and they tried to kill me. But at the last minute, Jesus caused this gun to go up, and I'm alive today. They said, we could fix that hole. He said, no, no, no. He said, I leave that hole there every day as a reminder of God's protection and his favor and his faithfulness. And yet we can come to the house of God and say, oh God, you're faithful, that's good. But when you think God's faithful and good and mighty, I'm thankful for the protection of God. Now, I don't have anybody walking in here with a gun to my head saying, give me everything you've got or you're gone, because the call of God has taken me to the country to preach the gospel. No, I don't have that. I can just say God's good and faithful where I am, and he's protected me even from things I don't know. I'm thankful for the goodness of God. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. I'm thankful that it could be worse. It could be wrong. It could be something else. I don't know about you today, but I'm thankful for the goodness of God. God's been great, and he's been faithful to us. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord? So his power. Everybody say power. His protection, his protection. And lastly, I'm thankful. If there's nothing else to be thankful for, it's the promises of God. I'm thankful for the promises of God. I'm so thankful that God has given us promises over and over. By one person's count, there's over 3,573 promises in the Bible. And the word promise itself occurs over 50 times. But what I love is not just the fact that God promises it, but what 2 Peter says. In 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4, the Bible says, his divine power has granted to us all things. Everybody say all things. That pertain to life and godliness. I could preach the daylights out of this, but I ain't got time. His power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, Jesus, who called us to glory and excellence, by which he has granted us to us his precious and very great promises. So that you become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world and all that the sinful desire. He said that you can be a partaker and that you know him. Because when you are part of him, the promises of God are applicable in your life, where you say, God, I'm thankful for that because he's good and he's faithful and he's great. Let's all stand. The Lord wants us to be not just partakers of promises, but he wants us to know him and to love him. And today, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, I'm here today to tell you that God's given you promises. He has all power to fulfill the promise. He gave you the promise, and I'm thankful for that. The question is will you apply it and say, God, I'm thankful for what you've given me. I'm thankful for your blessings. I'm thankful that I have a roof around. I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful today, in spite of everything going on. See, today, right now, I know that some of y'all, you're coming into this place and you're like, oh man, it's been a tough month, tough quarter, tough year, tough couple years. But 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says it like this. And you may never notice this, but it's actually in our opening scripture. Anybody ever notice this? In our opening scripture on the screen, I know you all are close your eyes and you're praying and interceding in deep opening prayer, or in the lobby getting coffee, one or the other, but no matter what, it's on there. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Now, watch this. I heard a preacher once say, God says to give thanks in everything. That doesn't mean you need to give thanks for everything. There's a difference. You don't need to give thanks for the bad day. You might be looked at crazy, like you need to adjust some medication, right? When you're like, Lord, I'm so thankful. Now, I know people like this. I'm like, do you really mean that? I know people are like, I'm so thankful. I got a flat tire today. I'm like, the devil is a liar. Get up out of here. I know people that are, they'll be like, oh, I'm so thankful. I lost my job. I'm like, why? What is going on? You are like the optimist I want to be around. Mad props to you. Love you. But hear me today. He didn't say give thanks for everything. Don't give thanks for the bad relationship. Don't give thanks for being passed over at work. Don't give thanks for financial hardship or whatever it is. You're not to give thanks for the difficulties, but rather in the difficulties. And that's the important distinction that one I think we often miss. That when we give thanks in everything, it shows a heart of faith that God is bigger than our difficulties and that He can use them. And if you approach Him with the right heart and the right spirit, God's going to work it out for your good and your glory. It's not the fact that, oh God, I'm glad this bad thing's happened to me. I'm glad I got the diagnosis. I'm glad I've had this bad thing happen. No, that's not the thing that He's saying. He's saying, no, God is bigger than that. And when you give thanks for, He said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. When you understand that God, you can give thanks in spite of what's going on, God's going to work it out. God's going to make a way. God's going to have. And Lazarus, I mentioned this earlier, in the closing or in our prayer, what we have to understand is when Lazarus was dying, they sent for Jesus and they said, Jesus, come, Lazarus, our brother is dying. And the Bible says he tarried there. And when they tarried there, he then got the word that Lazarus has died. And when his disciples basically said to him, he said, and I am glad I was not there for your sakes. Sounds like a crazy statement, doesn't it? What do you mean that you're glad I wasn't there to heal my friend who's going to die? Kind of perplexing. Seems contrarian to the nature of God. But Jesus understood something that sometimes we lack. Now, don't miss the point. The Bible says in John 11:35 that Jesus wept. If you don't know any Bible verse, that's your one of the day. You can now get a star, boys and girls. Congratulations. Jesus wept. Why did he weep? He was sorrowful for this experience. But he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew that there was going to get glory out of this. And because of that, he knew what was going to happen. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you're facing. And everything could be great. But what I do know is the Bible says, in everything give thanks. Right where you are, I wonder if you'll raise your hands. And I wonder if you'll surrender to God and begin to say, God, I give thanks today. I give thanks I'm alive. I give thanks that I made it through. I give thanks that I didn't even know what was going to happen. I give thanks that, God, you made a way when I didn't even know how it was going to work out. I give thanks today that, Lord, you blessed us. And, God, you opened this situation. God, I give thanks today for all of your goodness and your mercy. I give thanks today, God, for provision. I give thanks today for, God, your continual protection. I give thanks today for the promises of God. I give thanks today, God, for how you blessed me. I give thanks today, God, that, Lord, in the midst of a global recession, God, in the midst, God, of a pandemic, Lord, here I am because you're faithful and good and true. God, I thank you today, God, for what you've done. I thank you today, God, right now for all of your blessings. God, I give you glory and honor. I don't give you thanks for everything, God, because there's things I wish I didn't have to go through. But, Lord, you're bigger than my problems. You're bigger than my circumstances. You're bigger than what I'm going through. And because of that, I give you thanks today. Right now, I wonder if you'll get out of your pew and come down to the front. And I want you just to give God thanks today. And here's the deal. I want you to say, God, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. I want you just to come down. I want you to lift your hands. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to begin to thank God for things that he's done in your life. I want you to begin to say, God, I thank you for, and fill in the blank. God, I thank you for my life. I thank you, God, that I woke up today. I thank you today, God, for your hand on my family. I thank you, God, for your hand on my finances. I thank you today, God, for what you're doing. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, open the door. God, I declare in the name of Jesus, God, that, Lord, even though I may not understand it, even though it may not make sense, Lord, right now I declare, God, the things that I'm thankful for, that your power is not short, that your power does not lack, that, God, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. For, God, with men it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus right now that, Lord, you would have your way. I pray in the name of Jesus right now, God, that you would touch us. I pray, God, that we give you thanks as a people. I thank you today, God, for what you're doing. I thank you for your protection. I thank you for your hand. God, I thank you, God, that that car accident could have been much worse. I thank you, God, for, Lord, the car accident that was avoided, that was never an accident, but was the close call. I thank you, God, for angels that are surrounding us, God, that as I go about my day, Lord, you're a fence, God, that you keep a fence around us, God, as we go through the day. Lord, I thank you today, Jesus, God, for the hedge of protection. Although the enemy may want to tear us down, God, I thank you today, Lord, as the hedge, God, the blood that has been plead. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus right now, that God, you plead the blood over our hearts, plead the blood over our minds. I plead the blood over our situation. I plead the blood over this church. Protect us, oh God. Help us, oh God. Let your will be done, I pray, in the name of Jesus right now. I thank you today, God. I thank you for what you're going to do. God, I thank you today, Jesus, God. And I pray, God, that you continually move in this, for I know that you're working it out. I know that you're making a way. I know right now, God, that you're going to make a way. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you today, God.